if you can attend. So we're going to start from Genesis chapter 4, 3-8. So first book of the Bible, that's a real easy one, and just a few pages in, and then we get to this story. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best of his firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You'll be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master." One day, Cain suggested to his brother, "Let's go out into the fields." And while they're in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Father God, I thank you that you are here in this place. We thank you that, Lord, that we can come and worship you, that we have this wonderful freedom in this nation to call upon the name of the Lord. We thank you that, Lord, for your word. Your word still stands true. And again, Lord, what a privilege that in this nation that, Lord, we're allowed to read your word and allowed to have your word. I pray that your word would find a resting place in our hearts and our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. This has been on my heart for a few weeks, this message about doorways. What are doorways? Doorways are things that we open up. They're things that we give entrance to or we give access to, things that can influence us, whether we want them to influence us or not. And there are many doorways in life. Some are good and some are bad. And that's important that we would recognize and learn what are the good doorways to open and what are the bad doorways to open. Sometimes we can open up a door that can lead to tragedy. Sometimes we can open up a door that can lead to some bondages. Sometimes we can open up a door that can lead to terrible consequences. And it's something that God, he tries to get that across to us and wants us to realize early in life, even as in our Christian life, that we need to be careful what doors that we open in life. And it's interesting as you start reading the Bible, you don't have to go very far and you find some stories about individuals that opened the wrong door. If we would start with Genesis chapter 3, you would see Adam and Eve. And we read their story where they sinned in the garden and they were expelled in the garden. And there was the doorways of things such as doubt, there was lust, there was pride. And those things, as they yielded to those things, even though God had warned them in advance not to, they yielded to those things. They ate of the fruit of the tree that they shouldn't have, and they were expelled of the garden. See, wrong doorways never lead to anything good. And as we go a little bit further, you go to the next chapter, then you have another story, the story of Cain and Abel, brothers. And we see that as the story goes on, the Lord points out to Cain that he's opened a doorway of anger. Now, there are many other doorways that he opened here, but the Lord precisely speaks to him about anger and how that anger can lead to sin. And as we see that, read this story, we see that indeed it does. In fact, it goes on to the place where anger led Cain to kill his brothers, to kill his brother. So we need to realize that, you know, there are a lot of doorways, but not all doorways are good doorways to open. Some are good, some are bad, and we need to learn the difference. And because God loves us, he tells us in advance which doorways are good and which doorways are bad. We sometimes don't realize that because we don't read his message, which is in this book. If we will read this book, he will help you to open the doors that are good for you and not open the doors that are not good for you. It's interesting as we read the first few chapters in Genesis, we see the care of God and the counsel of God. We see that God is speaking to Adam and Eve before they sin. And he warns them, do not partake of this tree. Be careful. You can partake of everything else except for this one thing. And what did they do? They went for the one thing. And yet God had warned them beforehand of the consequences. As we go into the next story, Cain and Abel. Before Cain did that deed, did not God come on the scene and warn him to tell him that this is not what you should be doing, because if you open this door, it's going to lead to a bad situation. See, God gives us warnings in advance. For all of us here today, we have the blessing of having this word. That all we have to do is just simply read this word, read this book, and we will find in this book guidance and direction and help that will lead us away from those wrong doors in life. And that's something that's really important in our lives, because there's a lot of doorways in life. There's a lot of areas that you can open up that all of a sudden you're then giving access to that may not end well. Many of you can testify of doors that you've opened that were not good doors. And you can also testify of the struggle that it was for you to overcome that. And the fact that we're here today all in church, that means that all of us here are open to receive instruction. We're open to hear. We're open to say, God, I want to hear what you have to say. Just by the very fact that you're here in this church. And so this morning I want to share with you about these doorways. They can bring blessing or they can bring curses. Now the first one is the doorway of sin. And of course there are many, 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 many doors to sin. Now for Cain, the Bible says that the biggest door for him was anger. We see that in verses 5 to 7 of Genesis 4. But God did not accept Cain and his gift. He made Cain very angry and he looked dejected. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, watch out. Sin is crouching at the door to control you. And that's what sin does. You open up that wrong door, all of a sudden there's a new control issue that happens in your life. Now the doorway for Cain was anger. Now we could go on further. There's other things that we see here as well. Some things that maybe contributed to that anger. We see the rejection of his offering. That as he gave that offering before God, it was rejected. Most of us in our first readings, we don't realize, well, why was it rejected? What was the wrong kind of offering? He wasn't supposed to bring those things. He was to bring a lamb. He was to bring a blood sacrifice is what was necessary. Now, Cain knew that. He knew that that would be the appropriate response and the appropriate sacrifice. So we're seeing a little bit there that's leading up to this outburst of anger. We also see that Abel brought the best of his lambs, while Cain only brought some of his crops. So he didn't even bother to take the best for God. See, God wants your best. God doesn't want your worst. He wants your best. And then as we look a little bit further, we see that with his brother, there was a jealousy that was taking place, that his brother's accepted, his is not. So we can see that there was a doorway there of also jealousy. But all those things contributed to this area where he had anger and he refused to do what was right. And that's important for us to note, that he refused to do what was right. So he knew better, and yet he chose to go down this road. And that's what happens in life as well, that we often know better, especially as Christians. We do know better, but still we choose flesh, and we choose to do those things that we know are not right, and we sin. Now, it's interesting, this thing of anger. It's interesting that it is a key area that can cause us to sin. It's a key area that can open a door in our lives where the enemy can come in and then harass us, torment us, and bring destruction in our lives. Because that's what some doorways will do. You allow the enemy to come into your life, and then he has legal access and right, because you're the one that opened the door. He didn't open it. You opened it. That's very important for us to recognize. And so anger is one of those areas, a doorway that can allow the enemy to come in and cause us to sin. Ephesians 4, 26, 27, it says, "And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down when you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil." Now, it's interesting that the Bible talks about that. It gives the devil a foothold. It gives the devil a right to come into your life and to begin to harass you. You're the one that opens the door. He didn't open it. But once you open that door, whether it's a small bit or a large bit, his foot's in the door. And that's what he will do. As soon as you open that door, you're not going to close it, because he's got his foot there. And he's going to force that door open then and bring destruction in your life. And that's what he does. When we innocently sometimes open up a door that we shouldn't, we're giving the enemy access into our lives, and he will force his way in the rest of the way and bring destruction in our lives. So we need to be careful of that. And for Cain, what happened to him? Well, we see that he murdered his own brother. So again, how we need to be careful of what doors that we open in life. You know, we have a freedom. God gave us a freedom. God gave us all freedom to choose, have a choice. So we choose to open some of these doors that God says are not doors to be opened. And see, you can choose what door you open, but you cannot choose the consequence. See, the consequence comes, it's too late then. You've already opened the door. You don't get to choose the consequence. You can choose a door, but you don't choose a consequence. So sin is something that's not to be played with. The Bible tells us, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And that's where the devil wants to ultimately take every one of us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to kill us. The devil doesn't want to do anything good for you. And so don't be deceived that the devil has something good to offer you, because he doesn't. He only offers you destruction. John 10:10, Jesus, speaking of the devil, says, "The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, destroy." That's the devil's desire for you. That if he can get his foot in the door, he wants to come into your life to kill, to steal, to destroy. So the consequences of opening those doorways of sin are never good. They're never good. And yet we are so often naive, and that we believe that sin is harmless. And we have so many people around us that said, "Oh, everybody's doing it. It doesn't matter." And we even have Christians that say, "Oh, it doesn't matter." It's a doorway, friends. You need to look at things that you open up to see, is it a doorway to something else? Is it a doorway to something worse? Because sometimes it does look very innocent. But as you open that door, it's opening a door that can bring demonic influence into your life. So God's word is reminding us of the danger of opening those doors of sin. Ephesians 6 says, 6:6 says, "Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do." See, we know better. God's word tells us what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. And the doorway to sin is a door that can be sometimes very small or seem small, but once it's open, it's very big. And so we need to be careful of that, because as you say, the devil gets his foot in there, and once his foot's in there, he does push that door all the way open and comes in. But see, we've allowed that to happen. We gave access. We could have said, no, devil, I'm not opening this door. But still, what do? I'll just try it a little bit. A little bit never hurts anybody. Don't we hear that all the time? Well, you open up a door, friend, the devil gets his foot in there and you won't close it. It's going to be opened up nice and big. And that's what sin does. We're naive at times to believe that a little bit of sin never hurts you. Well, a little bit of sin does hurt you. And it opens and gives access to the enemy of your soul to come in, to harass, to torment, and bring destruction in your life. So this doorway of sin is not a good doorway to open. There are consequences that will be beyond your control. Now, I could go down a big list of things that the Bible mentions as doorways or as access points for the enemy to come into our lives. And I'm not going to do that because it would take us a long time to go all through those things. But, you know, a couple key ones would be like unforgiveness. If we have unforgiveness, if we have bitterness, if we're immoral, if we're worshiping idols, things of that nature, and a whole lot more, which we'll discuss on that weekend, they can be doorways that you open up that are going to cause you torment, grief, sorrow, pain, and all kinds of things. Be careful of the doorways of sin, because if you open it even a little bit, the devil get his foot in there, and he's going to come against you. Now, secondly, I want to talk to, and move on from there, about the doorway to freedom, because there is a way out. And it is possible to escape from those consequences of sin and from the torment of the evil one. That's why there is freedom. And if we look back to the story of Cain and Abel, what did God say to them? He said in verse 7, he says, "You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out, because sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master." How do you start this process of freedom? Same way you started the process of opening the door into sin. You choose. It's a choice. I can't make that for you. You have to choose for yourself to say, "I want freedom. I don't want to keep living the way that I've been living. I don't want to keep living with that doorway that I've opened up. I want freedom from that." Well, the first place you start is yourself, because you have to choose. If you don't want freedom, you can get all the prayer in the world and it ain't going to do a bit of good for you unless you yourself personally desire and want freedom. And then freedom starts by staying free, not getting tangled up again in the yokes of bondage. I've watched so many Christians that have served God pretty much their whole life, and then all of a sudden they start looking at some sin things that say, "Well, you know, it wasn't really that bad after all, and, you know, it's okay that Christians can do this and Christians can do that," and then all of a sudden they open the door. And I've not seen a case yet where it's ended well. It's gone really bad. Really bad. You don't play with sin. If you want to stay free, then stay free. Stay serving the Lord and not opening up any more doors. Second thing I see in that story is that as God is speaking to Cain, you have to be willing to change. You have to be willing to receive instruction. You know, I know sometimes it's just kind of built into our human nature, even from birth. You know, you can tell even a small child to do something, and what's usually the first word a child learns? No. It's built right in our systems. And it's something that we all need to work on, because it's just automatically there. There's a defiance that sometimes rises from our flesh against anything that God would say to us. So we need to get to that place where we are willing to change, where we are willing to receive instruction, where there is a desire to change. Because if you don't have a desire to change, freedom will not come. And you can come to the front of this church and get prayer week after week after week for a situation, and if you're not willing to change, then friend, that prayer ain't going to make any change either. You need to want to change. See, it goes on here where the Lord is speaking to Cain and tells him, "You must subdue it and be its master." In other words, choose to control it before it controls you. Because that's what will happen. If you don't choose to take control, it will take control of you. And that's something we need to learn in life as well. There's lots of things that we can do, even good things in life that we can do. But you need to be the master. You need to stay in charge. We have a lot of things now with kids today that we're saying, you know what? The kid can tell you what to do. Do not tell the child anything. Like, that is pure foolishness. You're the parent. You're in charge. You tell your child what to do. You don't let your child tell you what to do. That's how it works. You need to make those choices. You need to subdue it and be its master, or it will be your master. So take charge. Choose to do something about the problem, because the choice is yours for freedom. Freedom lies at your choice. You need to choose that which is right. See, the Bible continues to warn us throughout Scripture. If you have time this afternoon, read Ephesians, book of Ephesians, only 5 chapters, and the book of Colossians, 4 chapters. And in Ephesians 5, it says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. See, sometimes there will be doors that you may want to open, but you're not really sure. Well, it doesn't look bad. I don't think it is bad. Well, choose to find out what God wants. God just may not want you to open that door at all. So we need to carefully determine what pleases God. It says in Ephesians 5:15, be careful how you live. No, everything's not out there to grab in life. You need to be careful what you grab in life. Colossians 3, it adds some more. It says, put to death something. There's some things that we need to deal with once and for all and say, I don't want that to be in my life anymore. It says, so put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with those things, with immorality or impurity, or with lust or evil desires, or be greedy. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. And that's a problem that we have in our society today. We may not have a literal idol that is sitting there in our homes, but it could be filled with things that we do in our lives, that they consume us, that we don't get the things of God. And see, you're to stay the master. Too often we're giving up the mastery to something else, and all of a sudden we're living being a master to that thing. Colossians 3:8 says, but now is the time to get rid, and again, it mentions a few more things, anger, rage, malicious behaviors, slander, and dirty language. See, if you want your freedom, there are things that you need to stop doing. You need to make that effort to stop. You know, sometimes we all just want to be prayed and have a little quick fix. Sometimes we look at a Sunday as a quick fix day, that all the problems of my week, I'm going to come to church, someone's going to pray for me, and then I go back home. And then you start all over again doing those things that you shouldn't be doing. Then you come back to church and you repent. It shouldn't be that way. You leave church and you should be determined, I'm not going down those roads again. And you make a choice. It's a choice. Now is always the best time to deal with a problem. But again, it comes back to choice. Our Freedom Weekend that we're doing here in another 2 weeks is going to be a great place for you to start, to get some help, to get some encouragement, to see how other people did it and how other people made it, going, opening some doorways that they shouldn't have, because we'll have some personal testimonies as well. But your freedom starts with you. And then lastly, I want to talk about this doorway to God. Because if you don't take this doorway, then all the other things that you've done really won't last very long. You need to open up a doorway to God. In Genesis chapter 4, the Lord is speaking to Cain. He says, why are you so angry? See, the Lord wants to help us. The Lord will counsel us. The Lord will give directions, but we need to listen to the Lord. We need to be open to hear the heart of God. See, your freedom will be short-lived if you don't open that doorway to God. You need God in your life. You cannot do it on your own. You won't make it on your own. You need God. We all need God. See, Cain refused to listen to God. So he yielded to his anger, killed his brother, and then suffered the consequences of his choices. And see, we need to learn from that and decide today that I'm going to listen to God. That when God starts speaking to me, I'm going to listen. When he says I need to stop this thing or I need to change my life, I'm going to listen to what he's saying to me. It's interesting that as we look at God, he's often in Scripture referred to as a doorway. Revelation 3:20 says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal as friends." Do you notice that it's kind of different than what the enemy does? He wants to put his foot in the door and then push it open and then rob you and steal from you, torment you and kill you, get you sick and get you upset and all those kinds of things. But Jesus, on the other hand, he's knocking at the door. And he's waiting, he's knocking to say, "Will you listen? Will you listen? If you will listen, you open that door." And he doesn't put his foot in the door. He waits for you to open it fully. And he says, "We will come in. I will come in. And then we will share a meal together as friends." That's how God wants to approach. You have to open up your heart. You have to open up the door. Don't open up just a little bit. God's not going to push the door in. You need to open that door fully and welcome him in. And as you welcome him in, he will come and share with you as if you're friends. See, he politely knocks. He knocks and he's asking. You know, there's many of you here, you've heard that knocking. You've heard that knocking. But you haven't responded. You need to respond to him. You need to respond to that knock, to that voice of God. And he speaks to us all in different ways. There can be different things that can happen. Sometimes it's just a sensation. I think of how many people that have come to church simply because they drove by this place and they felt something inside say, "You need to be here." Other people were a little more direct. They were driving by, they came in, they said, "God told me that you guys have the answer." They heard that. They heard something directing them, and they opened the door. And that's what we need to do. It's interesting, John 10, verse 9, I'll read it from the King James Version, says, Jesus says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." If you read the New Living Translation, it says he's the gate. But it's an entrance. It's an opening that you can open up and give access to your life to God. God is wanting to have access to your life. And you're the one that chooses whether that happens or whether it doesn't happen. And when you open the door, he does come in. You share a time as friends. There's forgiveness there. There's salvation there. There's help there. There's nourishments there. There's food there. Everything that you need is there when you open up that door to God. And I want to encourage you today to open up your heart to God. If you've never opened up your heart, today's a good day. Or even as Christians here today, that maybe there are some things that God's been kind of speaking to you about, but you've been listening to the other people saying, "Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Don't be worried about that. Everyone else does that." Don't be listening to those voices. Listen to the voice of the Spirit and what he has to say. Because I remind you again, the thief's purpose, John 10:10, is to steal, kill, destroy. God's purpose is to give you a rich and a satisfying life. See, only God can truly make life satisfying. Even if you are the richest person in the world, and we have many examples of very rich people that have everything at their disposal, and yet what did they do? They killed themselves because they never found satisfaction. There's only one place that you'll find that, and that's in God. Only God can give us true freedom. Only God can set us free from the consequences of the doorways that we've opened in our lives that have been bad. Because the Bible says of Jesus Christ, John 8:36, "So if the Son sets you free, you are totally free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." See, freedom comes from opening that doorway to God. And freedom remains by continuing in that relationship with God. It's the best doorway that you can open. Now, we could say a whole lot more here this morning on all these things, but I encourage you to sign up for that Freedom Weekend as we talk about a lot of things that will help you to experience your freedom in your life. So as we close here, I'm going to ask the musicians to come back to the instruments here. But there are a lot of doorways in life. Not all doorways are good. Some of them are bad. Some of them will take you on a road of destruction that you never thought you would ever do. Most people that are in prison today never really intended to be in prison. That wasn't their goal, but they chose a doorway that led them there. There are many doorways that can lead you to hurt and to pain and destruction. There are many doorways that can open up your life up to the enemy of your soul, where he will come into your life because you gave him the access, you opened the door, where he'll come in and he'll torment you, discourage you, destroy you, take everything away from you. So sin is not a good door to open. It really isn't, because it gives legal access to the enemy to harm you. Now, to close that door, to have that freedom, again, it starts with you. It starts with a choice. You need to choose that you want freedom. You need to choose to come to that place, even to that place of God, and you need to open the door. God doesn't open the door. He knocks. You're to open the door. You're to welcome him in. And as you welcome him in, then he brings all that he has, which is life, strength, hope, joy, peace, all those things God brings in. So friends, this morning, I don't know where you are or what doors that you may have opened. But I can tell you there's a lot of doors that we should never, never open. You know, one of the practices, and we've gone through numbers of counseling sessions and seminars that we've gone to, one of the things I like to do is ask a question. And sometimes you can look at a list and just say, God, are any of these, have I opened up any of these doors? Lord, have I opened up anything that has given access to the enemy to torment me, to harass me, to steal from me? And you know what? When you ask that with sincerity, I often find God will tell you what it is. Now, the way we're going to do it in our freedom weekend is we're going to give you a list. We're going to help you out. We're going to give a big list. And you can just read down the list and say, oh, man, I didn't realize that. I opened the door. I didn't realize that was a door. We're going to help you out. But for today, you can just simply ask God. You know, if you have anger, it's for one. Good little prayer. Say, Lord, where did this anger first come from? When was the first time I was angry? It's kind of a good exercise to go through as you realize that, and you kind of go back there and say, Lord, I'm really sorry, Lord, that I opened that door then. And God, I ask you to forgive me. And then another little question, well, Lord, what's the truth? I often find that when people ask that, they're quite amazed and realize, oh, I was angry for a wrong reason. I didn't know that this was the truth. I thought this was the truth. And I went that way instead of the way that God was trying to show me at the time. God will do that for you. He'll show you. And then you can invite him in and say, Lord, I just invite you into my situation right now. I repent of these things. And Lord, I just ask you to cleanse me of these things afresh and anew. And Lord, set me free. I ask you to close this door in my life. I plead the blood of Jesus over it. I ask that, Lord, you'd seal it with your blood in Jesus' name. And if that door doesn't close, usually the first question you'll ask yourself, is there somebody I need to forgive? Then you go through that thing again. Then ask the Lord, Lord, is the door closed now? And God will show you whether that door is closed or still open in your life. God has good things for us. Open the door to him. And you might be here today then. Maybe somebody invited you. Maybe you're like many others. You were just driving by and just said, I got to check this place out someday. I heard that this was an all right church, and so thought I would come. I hope you realize those things are all God things. Those are all things that happen that God is trying to stir you, direct you, and push you, and nudge you to get you to the place where you need to be. Because he wants you to open his door. And when you open it up, don't open it up a little ways to see. Open it wide open and say, well, welcome, Lord. I welcome you into my life today. Do the whole thing. Don't do a partial. A partial doesn't do you any good either. God wants your whole heart. Open the door. Open the door. Receive him Welcome him in, and he will bring you a freedom that you never thought possible.
Bethel Family Worship Center, where families grow